right. Our next talk is on a related, still with the oil sands.
Tar sands is the dirt.
Almost said tar sands. Pyrogenic carbon is a legacy substrate in wildfire ecosystems, such as the boreal plains. Should it be used in land reclamation? Derek McKenzie.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. So I'd just like to acknowledge my my co-authors here. I'm an ecosystem ecologist, so I'm going to give you a bit of a broad perspective on what we're trying to do in the oil sands. And then Simone Hofstetter, Ido Hatam, and Brian Lanoil are all molecular microbial ecologists, and so there is a genetic component to the work I'm going to be showing today. So just give you some background on the oil sands. Sebastian gave you a little bit of background. I'll just sort of fill in a couple more details. Alberta oil sands deposit, and so as I mentioned to Jay, tar sands is a dirty word in Alberta, so oil sands is the preferred term. But okay, 1.7 trillion barrels of bitumen, largest petroleum reserve in the world. Athabasca is the largest of the four deposits, and it's the one that has 175 billion barrels recoverable by current mining methods, 315 billion with technological advances, which is a stream-assisted gravity drainage system with horizontal drilling, and it represents a large proportion of Canada's total petroleum needs. And so I'll just point this out. So this is the Athabasca oil sands region, and these are these other four reserves here at Cold Lake. There's some in Saskatchewan, which is the next province over. But this little red area here is what is surface mineable, and that represents about 4,800 kilometers square. And currently today, 900 kilometers squared of boreal forest has been disturbed for surface mining and extraction. And about 5% of that area is undergoing reclamation, but only 0.1% of that area has been certified as reclaimed. And this has been going on for at least the last 25 years. This mining has been going on, and actually for the last 40 years, and real serious legislation for reclamation for the last 20 years. And so there's a backlog of uncertified sites. And so part of what we need to do is figure out how to define reclamation success more quickly, to certify these sites more quickly. So just a little bit more background. You can see oil sands can appear near the surface of the Athabasca River here. They were Sir Alexander Mackenzie wrote about these deposits in 1788 when he was exploring the area. Most of it is buried under at least 40 to 50 meters of muskeg and or geological overburden, and that's got to be removed. And so today, that material is salvaged and stockpiled for use in land reclamation. But it wasn't always. And so there's a potential for a backlog of sort of missing topsoil. A large percentage of this area is bogs and fen ecosystems. Around 70% of the undisturbed area is bogs and fen, so wetland ecosystems. It makes it really challenging to do field work in this area in the summertime because every 200 meters you hit a swamp that goes for 200 meters. You can't just easily walk across it. All of the harvesting in this area is winter harvested on frozen muskeg. What's interesting to note, though, is that these bog and fen ecosystems are only going to make up 30% of the reclaimed area. And the upper 1 to 3 meters of this material is salvaged for topsoil use that they call peat mineral mix, which is this top picture here. And so they're basically taking organic soils and using them as at the top 20 centimeters of upland forest soils. And so there's all kinds of problems with that. And that's sort of what we're studying right now. The 30% of the undisturbed area represents forest ecosystems. However, these are going to shift to more to approximately 70% of the reclaimed area, and the upper 15 centimeters of LFH and A horizon are salvaged for topsoil for use in reclamation. And this material is called forest floor mineral mix. So those are our two main topsoil materials, but they're very different in nature, and it's dominated by this peat material. And so peat is going to have to be used in the reclamation environment. But all of the research that we've been doing for the last 10 years, and this is what Sebastian was just showing, is that it doesn't function like a forest soil. It doesn't function like an upland forest soil. So how could we, or what could we do to try to change that? And one thing we could do is try to use elements from natural disturbance to align our topsoils and reclamation to more similar ecosystem functions. So the main natural disturbance in the region is fire, and it exists in different forms on the landscape. It's typically in the boreal, stand replacing, crown fire is very hot, and very dynamic systems. This is just an iconic picture from 2005. 5 of the Bitterroot Valley, Montana. And we know a lot about fire ecology and recovery of ecosystems post-fire in terms of above-ground processes, plant recovery, plant community dynamics, and that kind of stuff. And we know that the species above ground are adapted to these regular pulses of fire on the landscape. And so it's logical to think that but we almost know nothing about below ground processes. So, but it's logical to think that the below ground organisms are also adapted to these regular pulses of fire and the subsequent transformations of carbon quality that's associated with that. And the main residue of wildfire is charcoal or black carbon. And so black carbon can be thought of as a legacy substrate or a disturbance substrate that organisms are adapted to and that has been shown in the fire ecology literature to have a strong effect on below ground processes. And so we started thinking about using this as black carbon as a surrogate for fire. Can it be used in reclamation? And so this is the black carbon continuum. We start off with biomass, and this basically is thermal alteration. And you see that the hydrogen to carbon and the oxygen to carbon ratio changes with increasing thermal alteration until we get to graphene materials here. We have charcoal here, which is a combustion residue from wildfire. But we can also make charcoal. It's called biochar, and when it's manufactured, typically. And we could make it to use in reclamation, or it might be a waste product from a bioenergy field, and then we could use it in reclamation. And then we have these combustion condensates. So, for example, soot, which has gone in the gas phase and then is recondensed out as soot. And in the oil sands, they have petroleum coke, which is a condensation product, byproduct as well. But it's very clean. So we can think of biochar as perhaps a surrogate for wildfire-produced charcoal. And we can think about putting it in rates on the environment that are similar to what we would expect to find in the natural environment. You know, but we don't really know what that is. So there's some questions that need to be answered about natural ecosystem recovery from wildfire in terms of how much black carbon is out there and what is it doing exactly. We think there's between 2,500 to 6,000 kilograms per hectare of charcoal in the top 10 centimeters of forest soils. And we can think about using pet coke, which is clean compared to other coke products from heavy metal upgrading, and is also part of the black carbon gradient. However, there's some significant differences in terms of when we compare charcoal and biochar to petroleum coke. They have a very similar molecular structure, but they have very different physical structures. Charcoal, because it hasn't entered the gas phase, has retained all of its plant cellular structure, plant wall structure, and so has very high surface area, whereas petroleum coke has these graphitic sheets and forms these little onion-like layers, but doesn't have necessarily as much surface area. And we want to use these. So the idea is, can we bring these into land reclamation? And if we look at natural disturbance, you know, we have glaciers that reduce the environment to primary succession, typically taking thousands to tens of thousands of years to develop, or fire in the landscape, which resets the clock on secondary succession, typically takes tens to hundreds of years to redevelop the forest ecosystem. And we can look at how our man-made ones compare, right? So surface mining is very much like a glacier, but land reclamation sort of kickstarts that up to somewhere in the secondary succession gradient. And the question we're really asking today is, can we increase the similarity to our benchmark ecosites, which are recovering from fire, by salvaging soils properly, planting native plants, and using amendments like charcoal? And so can we learn from these sort of natural ecosystem processes and apply these metrics of reclamation success in terms of ecosystem function, including microbial diversity, nutrient availability, organic matter quality, and plant growth, to the reclaimed environment? So leading to our research questions today, one, do wildfire surrogates affect carbon and nitrogen mineralization in different reclamation soil types? And two, do wildfire surrogates affect bacterial and fungal diversity in different reclaimed soil types? So to do this, we did a carbon and nitrogen mineralization assay where we used three different soil types: peat mineral mix, forest floor mineral mix, our two reclamation types, and a natural forest soil. And we added three different substrates: naturally collected charcoal, biochar, and petroleum coke. We incubated these for 90 days at 20% water holding capacity, weight to weight, 30 degrees C, three replicates in these mesocosm mini lysimeters. And then we extracted at day 1, 3, 7, and 14, and then every 2 weeks for 90 days we extracted carbon, or we measured respiration and extracted nitrogen from the soil matrix. So then we measured carbon and nitrogen mineralization, and then we applied nonlinear regression analysis to this, and we basically apply this first order kinetics because it's been shown in the literature to work well for natural soil processes. And what we find, so, and I won't show you the K values or the R squared values today, but just what we find is that on these graphs we have, on the Y axis, or the X axis rather, we have days, on the Y axis we have carbon respiration in milligrams of CO2 per gram of soil, and the dots represent our measured values, and the line represents our modeled value based on that first order kinetics equation. And so what we can see is that respiration on the peat and forest floor is similar, but much lower than in the natural forest soil. And what we can also see is that from these graphs is that the charcoal, the black carbon, or the pyrogenic carbon additions stimulated respiration. So microbes are immediately able to use that black carbon as a substrate, and that's known from the literature that they start altering the surface of that material, and so they're consuming it. And so you can see that, for example, the charcoal, the naturally collected charcoal, has the highest amount of respiration in all our systems, with the control the lowest, and pet coke in the middle. But then there's usually no significant difference between the charcoal and the biochar product. And you can also see that in some cases, well, the measured data doesn't fit the model data very well, which to me, or to us, we believe that indicates that it's that these processes are sort of not aligning. We hypothesize that charcoal would help align these below-ground processes in our reclamation substrates, because that's basically what we've seen in other studies from natural sites. And so it fits fairly well for the natural soil and fairly well for the forest floor mineral mix, which was also from an upland forest soil, but doesn't fit very well for the peat mineral mix. If we look at nitrogen mineralization, you can see, again, that the model fit is a terrible fit for N mineralization. And in this case, charcoal additions decrease nitrogen mineralization in all of these. But I'm not sure that that's accurate in the sense that activity was increased from the respiration data. The carbon mineralization data indicates increased activity. The nitrogen mineralization data maybe indicates reduced activity, but I think it's interference of biochar. I think the biochar is absorbing the nitrogen, and therefore we're not actually able to measure it in our assays. But it is interesting to note that I really expected charcoal to align the measured data from the peat mineral mix to that curve, because it's a very good fit. And you can see in the forest floor mineral mix and the natural forest soils, it's a very good fit. It doesn't fit well in the peat at all. We looked at our bacterial and fungal diversity, and I'll go over this quickly. I'm running out of time. So it's the same incubation, and we just, at the end of 90 days, we took samples off of this, and we used fast DNA spin kits, Hot Star TAC Plus, Illumina sequencing, and then we measured 16S RNA for bacteria and ITS1-2 for fungi. We used mother also to assemble the OTUs, and we looked at alpha diversity, and then we looked at sort of the community distribution in non-metrics multidimensional scaling. And so I'll just show you I'll skip ahead to the diversity index, and what we can see is that black carbon, or our pyrogenic carbon, stimulated diversity in both our forest floor mineral mix. So we have, these are a little bit tricky to read, on the y-axis here we have, on the x-axis, we have our forest floor control, coke, charcoal, and biochar, and then we have for the natural soil control, coke, charcoal, and biochar, and then for the peat mineral mix control, coke, charcoal, and biochar. And then we have Shannon diversity index on the y-axis, and we can see that our pyrogenic carbon stimulated diversity in our forest floor and our natural soils, but not necessarily in our peat mineral, although this has a much higher diversity, which is interesting. But you got to remember that this stuff comes from this anaerobic environment, and it was salvaged and then directly placed on the reclamation site, and we collected these samples 2 years later. So I think that's reflecting this high anaerobic community diversity, and is not necessarily reflective of how it's functioning in terms of carbon and nitrogen mineralization. If we look at our ordinations here, just for the forest floor first, so up in the right corner here, or left quadrant, we have forest floor mineral mix, and we go from our control community here to coke, natural charcoal, and biochar. And so what we can see is that biochar is stimulating sort of this a change in the composition of bacteria in these soils in both the forest floor mineral mix and the natural soil, but not in the peat mineral mix. And if we look at it all together, so then this is all of our soil types together, what we see is that there's this migration this way caused by biochar for natural forest soils, and this way for forest floor mineral mix, but then it's going this way for peat mineral mix. And so we're trying to look at if there's metrics that we can use to say that this is an ecosystem, or to design an ecosystem functional similarity index to say that if our reclamation soil type is moving towards our natural benchmark soils, that is an indicator of successful reclamation. And what you can see for peat is it's not. It's moving more towards the forest floor, which might be a good thing because maybe given more time, it'll start tracking out this way. So that's sort of what we're doing with ordination right now. If we look at the fungal community, it's very different. The forest floor mineral mix has the highest, followed by the natural site. Again, there is a stimulation of diversity with black carbon. And it's the lowest in the peat mineral mix, which, again, you would expect it's in an anaerobic substrate. But then there's nothing happening in ordination. There's no trends here that we can decipher. So in a 90-day incubation was not enough to stimulate, for pyrogenic carbon to stimulate microbial migration. So we'll just summarize really quickly. Peat mineral is not mineralizing carbon and nitrogen like upland forest, and so that's why we think we need to do something to stimulate it. Because we have so much of this material, it must be used in the future reclamation environment, but we need to do something to stimulate it to be more like natural forest soils. And mineralization is low in all soil types, but that's possibly interference with black carbon absorption. Biochar stimulated by material diversity, but maybe not moving towards the natural forest soils as expected, but maybe it's too short of an incubation to say that. And then we need to add more natural benchmarks of success for analysis, which is what Sebastian was talking about with the reference sites. And we need to, I would really like to develop this ecosystem functional similarity index as a metric of reclamation success. Any questions?
No time. Yeah. Lots of interesting work about oil sands, but apparently they don't like to take questions. But I would encourage you to talk to Derek and Sebastian.